Chesamet Aleph, 78A. We're up to the Mishnah. About 10 lines down. Hamiluim. Before we can return to the Korban Todah, we have two more types of bread. The bread that comes with a Korban that we need to talk about. One is the bread that was brought with the Miluim when they dedicated the Mishkan, and the other is the bread brought by the Nazir as part of concluding his period of Nazirus. So the Mishnah says, Hamiluim, hayu ba'in kimatsa shabatoda. The bread for the Miluim came in three varieties, just like the matzah, the part of the Korban Todah. Chalos, Rekikin, Revucha. Revicha, but it should be Revucha. Right, it's Revucha. The Revicha is the, some of the Europeans say Revicha instead of Revucha.
Yeah, yeah.
The Nazirus Aisabash Dayados Kematzah Shel Todah. The bread of a Nazir, on the other hand, only came in two varieties of the matzah that the Korban Todah is brought with. Chalos Rekikin, Ve'ein Bah Revucha. Only Chalos and Rekikin, but not Revucha, as the Gemara will explain.
It is very interesting.
Yeah. I suspect typos. Nimza Asara Kav in Yerushalmios, so that for the Nazir is 10 Kav by the Yerushalmi instead of the 15 Kav that we had by the Korban Todah. And he says, Shehein Shisha Esronos Ve'odyan, which ends up being 6 2/3 Isaron, in order to achieve the 10 Kav altogether. If you take a look at Rashi, he tells you, Rashi, the real Rashi on the bottom, his Shesh Esronos Ve'eduyam is his instead of Ve'odyam. Ve'odyam sound like the plural of Ve'od, like Ve'odim. But he has Ve'eduyam. Shalosh Esronos Ushlish L'chol Min. The result being that it's 3 1/3 Saron for each of the types of bread. Ve'ay Ve'eduyam Havushne Shlishi Saron Da'achemin Le'el Gavim Matzah Shabbatoda. That's the idea. In other words, what all you're really doing is saying, well, I'm taking 10 Isaron, and it's 2/3 of 10 Isaron, and therefore it's going to be, six and 2/3. Okay. The Gemara does not get involved with the math. The Gemara has other fish to fry. Menahani Mili. The Gemara wants to know how I know the bread that you have for the Miluim. That is Chalos Rekikin as well as Revucha. And we have two approaches. First, Amar Chista Amar Bar Gurya Da Amar Kra. The Torah says there, Umisal HaMatzos Asher Lifnei Hashem Lakach Chalas Matzah Achas V'Chalas Lechem Shemen Achas Rekik Echad. So you have Matzah, you have Chalas Lechem Shemen, and you have Rekik. So he says, look, Bishlama Chalos Chalos, right? Chalos is a reference to Chalos, that's easy. Rekik is Rekik, so that's the second of the varieties. But Shemen Mainin, who, what is, or Mainihu, what is oil there? Lav Revucha, doesn't that mean the Revucha? Revucha is, by definition, the term Revucha refers to mixed with oil. So Masgifla Revavia, to which Revavia says, not necessarily, Ema into the Mashcha. Maybe not. Maybe it's in the Damashcha, which Rashi says is Uga Shel Shemen Karush. Maybe it is a cake of congealed oil. In other words, when at the Miluim he brought Chalas Lechem Shemen Achas, maybe he means, it sounds like, from Rashi, it sounds like just pure oil, or maybe it's a kind of flour mixed with oil, but it's not the bread that we call Revucha. So our first attempt is to say that Revucha is brought at Miluim because of the word Shemen. We now need to bring a second approach. Ella, rather, middle of the page, 9 Chesem, but Aleph, Kidadarash Rav Nachman Bar Chisda Mishmei de Rabbi Tavla, as Rav Nachman Bar Chisda taught in the name of Rabbi Tavla, the Torah says, Ze Korban Aharon Uvanav, Asher Kruvu Lashem, Biyom Himashach, Oso. The Pasuk says, this is the Korban of Aharon and his kids that they're going to bring on the day when Aharon is anointed. So what are his kids doing? V'chimala madnu lebana b'yom imashcha. What are we doing for his kids on the day when Aharon is anointed? What do you mean? Ela makish chinucha liimashcha. The answer is, we link together the chinuch of a Kohen Hedyot, regular Kohen, i.e. Aharon's kids, with the anointing of the Kohen Gadol who brings chavitin. And that's the key. Mahi mashcha revucha, when the Kohen Gadol is anointed, meaning when you are the Kohen Gadol, every single day you bring chavitin, which are revucha. Avchinucha revucha, so too on his dedication, you also bring revucha. That's our source. We're linking the chinuch of Aharon's kids with the mashicha of Aharon himself. the Aaron himself brings chavitin, which are revucha. Therefore, also at the chinuch point, you also bring revucha. That's how I know that they also bring this this revucha. My mashka revucha, chinuch revucha. Good, but it also introduces a new point. The Aaron at that point has never worked as even a regular kohen, yeah. Right? Aaron has never done that either. So really, he's undergoing a double induction. He's being inducted into Kohen Hedyot and into Kohen Gadol. So that feeds the next line. Amar of Chizda. Chizda says, Kohen Gadol hamiskarev la'avoda tzarech shtei esronos ha'efa. When the Kohen Gadol first starts to serve, he requires a double asiris ha'efa. Achas li'imashcho. One is for the chavitin that he's going to bring as a newfound Kohen Gadol, ve'achas l'chinucho, and one for the chinuch offering. So it's two equal parts. One is for his chavitin, and one is for the rest of it, the chalos harikigin. Correct. Marba Ravashi, like Aaron. Marba Ravashi Amar Shalosh, whereas Marba Ravashi says, no, it's three. V'lo pligi, but there's no machlokes involved. It depends on whether he has actually ever served as a Kohen Hedyot. And Rashi explains, we jumped the gun on the issue of whether he has ever served. He says, Rashi says, if you see in the fine print, six lines up from the bottom in the middle of the line, Shalosh, you bring three. Achas l'chinucho l'avodas kohen hedyot, one to dedicate him as a regular kohen. V'achas l'chinucho l'avodas kohen gadol, one for his chinuch as kohen gadol. V'achas l'chavitin. That's Rashi's first approach here. One is for the chavitin, one is for chinuch as kohen gadol, and one is for general chinuch. V'yesh mefarshim, and some say no, kigon da'avad avoda b'yom ha'kippurim. That is where he has actually served on Yom Kippur. V'lav milsi, but he says that's incorrect. Da'karban yachad eno karev b'yom ha'kippurim. Some suggest that it's where he is doing this on Yom Kippur, but it's not so because you don't have a private carbon on Yom Kippur. Okay. The suggestion was that it would be if you brought someone in from scratch. If something happened to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, you need to introduce a new Kohen Gadol. Then he would do this. He would have this special induction, but it can't be so. Okay. Good. Nizirus ha'isabah shtei yados kematzah shebetoda. We said that for the nizirus, for the bread that you bring along with the ram of the shlamim of a nazir. So we said you have two varieties, chalok and rikikin, just not revucha. So Tana Rabbanan, eight lines up from the bottom. Brisa says, shlamav, the Torah says, al zevach todas shlamav, with the shchita of the toda of his shlamim, lerabos shalmei nazir, lahaseres kaben yerushalmios, ulrevias shemen. That teaches us that when the nazir brings his shlamim, he brings 10 kav Yerushalmi, meaning, in other words, two-thirds of the bread that you bring for the karban toda, because the karban toda is 15 kav. So you have 10 kav and revias shemen. Yochol chomasha amar be'inyan. Why do you assume that it's for two-thirds? Maybe it should actually be that he should bring everything that you bring when you bring a karban toda. No, tamad lomar matzos. The word matzos teaches me it's not so. You don't bring everything for the nazir that you bring with a karban toda. So the Gemara wants to know, where did you learn that? My Talmudah, what did you learn out of the word matzos? Two approaches. Amar of Papa. Papa gives me the first approach. Dover shnemar bo matzos. La fuke revucha delo nemar bo matzos. Rav Papa says, by using the word matzos there, unnecessarily, because I already linked it to the Karban Toda, the word matzos is to teach me that you're not including revucha. Revucha is never called matzos, meaning the word matzos is used regarding a mincha that is matzah, and it's used regarding chalos as well, chalos matzos. But you never use the word matzos regarding revucha. So therefore, the extra use of the word matzos here is to teach me not revucha. That's one approach. And then, Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Tana, they taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, matzos, another approach, matzos is brought as a klal. It refers to bread in general. And it says chalos, and it's urekikin, it mentions these two specific species regarding the nazir, that's my prat, that's my specification. So it's klal uprat, ein bechlal alamashab, prat, chalos urekikin, in midi achrin alo. the general rule is matzos. We then bring specifications. The rule is that in the Torah, if the Torah says do something general and that gives you examples, we assume they're not just examples. We assume that's what you're supposed to bring, those specific things. So here, the Torah specified chalos and rakikin. That's all the nazir brings. So the upshot of this discussion on this amud is that we have two different types of, or two additional types of menachos. One being the miluim, which looks just like what you're doing for the karban todah. And we asked how we deduced that, and we brought our approach for deducing that. We also noted that the Kohen Gadol is going to need to be dedicated as a Kohen Hedyot as well as a Kohen Gadol in the event that he's never worked before, and that changes the amount of flour he's going to use. It changes, really, I think, the number of loaves also. When we say he's bringing three Yisaron, I think that means he's actually bringing extra loaves too, even though that wasn't explicit in the Gemara. And then the Nazir, we said, brings two varieties instead of three, just Chalos Rekikin and not Revucha. That returns us now, and I'm Chesem and Beis at the top, to the discussion regarding Lach Metoda, and specifically the dedication of the Lach Metoda, and that's really the topic for the rest of the morning. So the Mishnah says at the top of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, Hashochet es hatoda lifnim v'lach machutz l'choma. Remember that we've said that the bread is dedicated in two phases. One phase is when it's baked. That was an initial phase. And then, second, at the time of the Shechita of the Karban Todah. So he says, this basically is we're going to deal with what doesn't work in order to understand what does work. What are the disqualifications in order to understand how the procedure actually works? So, Hashochet es hatoda lifnim v'lach machutz l'choma. If the bread is outside of the wall, we have to decide what wall this is in the Gemara, but if the bread is outside the wall when you shech the Karban Todah, lo kidesh halachem, then it doesn't work. You can't have spooky action at a distance. There is no quantum dedication of your bread. Your bread has to be inside the choma. Shchata ad shelo karmu pana batanur. If the bread has not yet developed a crust in the oven when you shechted the animals of the karban todah, vafilu karmu kulan chutz me'echad me'en. Even if it's just one loaf that has not yet developed the crust, lo kidei shalachem, the bread is not yet sanctified. The Gemara is also going to talk about what stage this is, the crusting of the bread. But the point for us is not just to list the disqualifications. The point is to explain to us what does have to happen. The bread has to be inside. That's why I worded it this way in the sheet. I worded it in the positive. The bread has to be inside the choma and has to have a crust at the time that you shech the karban todah in order for the dedication to take place with the animal. So what does that mean inside of the wall? My chutz l'choma. When you say outside the wall, what wall do you mean? So Rabbi Yochanan Omar chutz l'chomas beis pagi. Rabbi Yochanan says outside the wall of beis pagi. Reish Lakish Omar chutz l'chomas azara. And Reish Lakish says no, outside the wall of the azara. In other words, Reish Lakish says it has to be inside the beis hamikdash proper. And Rabbi Yochanan says it has to be within Beis Pagi. What in the world is the wall of Beis Pagi? So if you follow in the footnote there that I gave you on the sheet, three-way machlokes. Rashi, meaning Rashi in the Ksav Yad, as well as Bartanura and the Sfas Emes say it's the outer wall of Yerushalayim. Is what we're talking about. It has to be in Yerushalayim. That's all I require. Because remember, Todah bread can't leave Yerushalayim. So therefore, at the moment of the sanctification, it must be within the city. That's one view. The Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos says it was a place that was close to Har HaBayis. Not on Har HaBayis itself. It's a place that's close to Har HaBayis. So he gives you the farthest possibility. And then the Mefarish, the Suda Rashi that you see in the upper part, says that it's actually the wall of Har HaBayis itself. It has to be on Har HaBayis. So to rearrange that in terms of the distance, the highest standard is this the highest standard is the Mefarish who says it's the wall of Har HaBayis. The next closest one is the Perush HaMishnayos, the Rambam who says it's close to Har HaBayis, and then you have Rashi Bartanura Sfasemis who say it's the outer wall of Yerushalayim. I'm sorry, no, who say, yeah, who say it's the outer wall of Yerushalayim. The Rambam reminds us that back on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, we said Beis Pagi is where they bake the bread. That's actually where you had your ovens for baking the Lach Metoda. And he says Beis Pagi is actually Beis Bagim. like bet with a bet. Bet Gimel Yud Mem is base Bagim in and he connects it to the pasuk in Daniel in Parak Aleph pasuk Yud Gimel. Pas Bag was the food of the king. Pas Bag Hamelech in the discussion about eating treif and eating the seeds and all that. That Pas Bag Hamelech was the food of the king. The so he says that's where you get Bagim is Bag from Pat Bag. Pat being bread, the but Bag being food. So in any case, the this is a place which is either the wall of Harabayis, or it's a place close to Harabayis, or it's the outer wall of Yerushalayim. In any case, it's farther out than Reish Lakish says, which is Reish Lakish says it has to be in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara wants to know what is this machlokus about. Reish Lakish Amar Chutz L'Chamas HaAzara. Reish Lakish says it has to be inside the Beis Hamikdash. Why? Because the Torah says you're shechting it al zevach todah. You're bringing the bread al zevach todas shalamav on. Or al zevach hatodah is the pasuk actually that I brought on your sheet. The bread is being brought on the shechita of the todah. So Reish Lakish says al means next to. But inan al besamuch, it has to be right next to where you're shechting. It has to be inside the Beis Hamikdash. That's Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan amar chutz lechomas beis pagi. Rabbi Yochanan says no. He says you have to the wall of beis pagi. Aba chutz la'azara kadosh, but outside the azara is fine. Velo ba'inan al besamuch, and al does not really mean it has to be next to anything. That's the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So that's all regarding Karban Todah. However, there's another time when we have Al that's related to Shechita, and that's regarding Chametz on Erev Pesach. The rule is, Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, right? Don't shecht my Karban when you have Chametz. And we apply that to not just the Karban Pesach, but also the afternoon Karban Tamid on Erev Pesach. You can't have Chametz when you shecht those. That's the rule. So we have the same discussion. When it says, Lo Sishchat al Chametz, does that mean Chametz in the Azara? What does that mean that the Chametz would be? So and the Gemara says, the same debate that we had regarding the Karban Todah, whether the bread has to be there or not, is applicable to the debate you have regarding the Karban Pesach. Does the Chametz have to be there or not for you to be in violation? But if Lekubach Adazimna, they already had this machlokes. This not, as the Mishnah says, Hashochet es HaPesach al HaChametz over below Saseh. If you shech the Karban Pesach while you have chametz, you're in violation of a lo saseh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af HaTamid, and Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing is true for the afternoon Karban Tamid. If you have chametz, you're in violation. V'amar Reish Lakish, and there Reish Lakish said, Lo Olameinu Chayav Ad Shei O L'Shochet O L'Zorek O L'Echad B'nei Chabura Imo Ba'azara. Reish Lakish said you're only in violation if you have the chametz with you in the Beis Hamikdash. Just like he says that for the Karban Todah, the bread has to be with you in the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Af HaPishein Imo Ba'azara. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Anywhere you have chametz, even if it's not with you in the Azara, Rabbi Yochanan is more expansive of al. Notice that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have any standard of location here, as opposed to by the Karban Todah, where he does say it has to be within Yerushalayim. The difference is, by the Karban Todah, it has to be in Yerushalayim because it's Kachim, and it can't leave Yerushalayim. Once it becomes dedicated, it has to stay in. But theoretically, Rabbi Yochanan is saying al is meaningless. Okay, do you follow the key point? I feel like there's a lack of wakefulness here.
It's translating all to mean while.
Yeah, or at least not to mean proximity in any way, shape, or form. The Rabbi Yochanan's position down the line is that al doesn't have to mean being nearby at all. And Reish Lakish says, no, al means here. That's what it actually means. Tosfos points out here that, before I get to that Tosfos, I'll get to the Tosfos in a little bit. But first of all, Tosfos points out that we had a discussion earlier, back on Samach Beis, when we talked about the frankincense, the Lavona, being on the Lechem HaPanim. And there we had two choices for Al. Al either meant on, literally on top of the bread, or al meant next to. Nobody suggested in that discussion that al could mean nothing. Like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that al doesn't mean close at all. So Tosfos' answer is, yes, that's true, but that's because that didn't make any sense. In context there, by the lechem apanim, by the showbread, it made no sense to say, bring your lavona on your bread, but al doesn't mean near on at all. Those were the only two options that were realistic. It was either on or next to. Here, it's theoretically possible that it shouldn't be so. I'm not entirely sold on that answer, but that's the answer. I like the Tuz's question better than the answer.
You don't have
Tomid by Pesach, so what automatically Orion by Tomid?
No, this is Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and it's a separate Isser. It's a separate.
So he says Afa Tomid means
the afternoon Tomid. The afternoon Tomid on Erev Pesach. Yes.
So it's not that you had it. Didn't have Tomid by Pesach,
and
you have it by
Tomid. Oh, no, right. It's a separate losaseh, correct. He's just explaining Dam Zivchi to be any Zevach that you must bring on that afternoon. That's the idea. So the Gemara is bothered here. The Gemara is troubled. Why do I need this machlokas to appear twice? It's the same debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about how to translate the word al. So it says Sricha. You need that. The Itmar Behi, had you only mentioned that one, meaning, had you only mentioned the issue of the chametz on Erev Pesach, be'ahi ka'am Rabbi Yochanan d'chol heicha de'isei be'isur akai, I would have said that's where Rabbi Yochanan says al can mean anywhere, because wherever you are, it's still Erev Pesach, and you're not allowed to have chametz. Aval inyan mekadesh lechem, but as far as sanctifying the bread, emamo delele reish lakish, maybe he agrees with reish lakish, the bread has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's where your carbon is going on. De'isei Bifnim kadosh, if it's inside it's kadosh, avroi lo kadosh, if it's outside it's not. Ve'i itmar baha, and had you only mentioned this case about the toda, I would have said baha ka'amar reish lakish, that's where reish lakish says it has to be inside to become holy. Avo bahach, but on the Pesach case, on the Chametz case, Eim Modele Rabbi Yochanan, I would have said he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that in fact anywhere you are, anywhere you have Chametz, you're in liability. Eim Modele Rabbi Yochanan Tzricha, therefore you need to mention both. Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yochanan, have a brisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan. Hashochet as hatoda lefnim, v'lach machutz lachomaz beis pagi. V'shech the toda inside, and the bread is outside beyond the beis pagi. Lo kidesh halechem, the bread doesn't become holy, but apparently it can be as far out as beis pagi itself. One other note here that Tosus brings up, which is fascinating: if you're telling me that al means that it should be there, right? Al means that it should actually be present where the chabura is. So if your chametz is present there, you're liable for shechting the Karban Pesach while having chametz. What if, regarding the Karban Todah, though, the chabur doesn't need to be in the Beis HaMikdash? The Jews can be anywhere at all, and the Karban Todah counts for them. So what if a Jew somewhere owns chametz outside the Beis HaMikdash? Does that mean that the tzibur is now liable for shechting the Karban Tamid, or the shochet is liable for shechting the Karban Tamid when somebody owned chametz? So Tosa says that's ridiculous. Tosa says, absolutely not, don't think that. But he doesn't explain why, other than saying it's weird. The Sfasemes says, well, why not? The Sfasemes is not convinced by Tosa's dismissal of the idea. It's the second Tosa's there. Okay. In any case, we've learned now that the Todah bread must be present in some form, either in Yerushalayim or even closer, in order for it to become kadosh. Your shechita of the animals only works if the bread is somewhere within Yerushalayim, or even closer in, if you take the view of Reish Lakish. We now learn that also the bread must be bread. It can't be unbred. It can't be raw, basically. But we'll see the definition here. Menani mili. The Gemara says we're on the sixth of the wide lines on Ayin Chesamud Beis. Menani mili. How do you know that it has to have a crust? The Tanu Rabbanan, because the Brisa records it as follows. The Torah says al chalos lechem chametz yakriv karbono al zevach todas shalomav. He's going to bring it on chalos. Loaves. That teaches me it has to have a crust in order for it to get this status. Just the use of the word chalos, Rashi says. Chalos boy, it's not called chalos until it has a crust. Yakriv karbano, he shall bring his karban al zevach on the karban. Melamed she'ein alechem kadosh ela b'shchidas ha-zevach. It only becomes kadosh, it only becomes holy when you shech the animal, as we've discussed. And zevach todas teaches me, this is all part of that one brisa, melamed shim shachad shalol lishman lo kidesh alechem. If you shech the animal shalol lishman, not as a karban todah, the bread doesn't gain kedusha. That's going to be the subject of the next Mishnah, so we're not going to follow up on that thought yet, but our main point here is, it has to be chalos, that has to be called loaves. If it's not, it doesn't have a crust yet, it's not called a loaf. What about an intermediate state? Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says, we are now about 10 wide lines down, middle of the Amud, Yotz in bimatza na. you can fulfill your obligation with matzah that is na. Remember na regarding the Korban Pesach? Na, al tochlumi menu na, was cooked but uncooked. It's in an intermediate stage. The hina is another edition of this. Yes, hang on. The uva matzah ha'asuya be'ilfas, as well as with matzah that's been made in a pot. The you can use pot-baked matzah. And apparently pot-baked matzah also does not really crust over very well. So this braisa that we're quoting is actually a law regarding matzah on Pesach. This braisa. It's not a korban todah law, it's a Pesach law. And it's saying that your matzah that you have at your Seder theoretically can be underbaked. So my matzah na, what does na mean? Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, kol sheporsav ein chutin nimshachin heimena. If when you break the matzah for your afikoman, right? You break the matzah, you don't have shreds of dough, pieces of dough getting pulled apart, you're okay. That's how baked it has to be. You can understand why they would be concerned for gebrachts with matzah na. This is not fully baked. It just means that you're not having threads of dough. And then Rava says, going back to you, Yaakov, the same rule will apply regarding the Todah bread. So the Gemara says, well, I didn't need you to tell me that. Pshita, of course. Hachalechem ksiv. The Torah says regarding matzah and regarding, meaning Pesach, and also regarding the Korban Todah, uses the word lechem. So what's your novelty, Rava? Ma'u desema, I would have said, Echad amarachmana, shelo yitol parus, v'hakeman depris adamya. What I might have said regarding the Todah is that the Torah says, "V'ekrivi menu echad mikol karban." When you talk about separating the bread that's supposed to go to the kohen, so the pasuk says that it has to be echad, unified. And I might argue that na would be considered to be part to be broken. It's not considered to be a whole loaf, and therefore I would have thought regarding Korban Todah, even a na is no good. Kamash Malan is teaching me that na is. So he's not. It's not a novelty that underdone is no good. It's a novelty that na is good. That's the idea. Itmar. Here we get a question that harks back to Zvachim, an issue of intent. Todah sheshchata al shmonim chalos. What happens if I bring my korban todah and I have 80 loaves of bread instead of 40 loaves of bread? What happens to that bread? And here, this is a transition into a new topic that's going to take us into tomorrow as well, and that's the issue of kavana, what your intent is with this korban todah when you shech the animal. You shech to the animal, you have 80 loaves of bread, what happens? Chizkiah Omar kodshu arboya mitoch shmonim. Chizkiah says, a random 40 loaves out of the 80 become Kodesh. And by the way, Rashi fills in for you, I don't know which 40 they are, and now you have a problem. Because you can't identify which 40 are the Kodesh 40, and the result is going to end up being, of course, that all 80 have a Kedusha to them. But he says, 40 become Kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo kadshu arba'a mitoch shmona. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says none of them become Kodesh. And the result is you have not fulfilled your neder to bring a korban todah. There's some discussion about the animal becoming Kodesh without the bread, but that's beyond the scope of what we're going to get to now. So it's a machlokes. Either 40 out of 80 become Kodesh, or none become Kodesh. But now we have a four-way machlokes in the Gemara in terms of explaining what the debate is about. I brought you the four explanations there on the sheet. Amar Rabbi Zera says, Hakol modim heichad amar liktishu arba'a mitoch shmonim kadshu. Everybody agrees that if he actually declares when he brings the karban, I want 40 loaves to become Kodesh, then 40 loaves become Kodesh. And if he doesn't identify which 40, then we're back to Chizkiah. Al yikadshu arba'am elim ken yikadshu shmonim. And if he says, I only want 80 loaves to become holy, none of them should be holy unless all 80 can, well then that's not a korban todah. And therefore, lo kadshu, it doesn't work. You can't create your new breed of korban. That doesn't work. Ki plii, the machlokes is bistama, where he didn't say anything, he didn't specify. So mar savar la'achrayus kamachavein. One view, the view of Chizkiah, is he intends the other 40 to be backup. And our problem is he didn't say which 40 was which. So therefore, 40 out of 80 become Kodesh. Umar Savar LeKarban Gadol Kamachavin. And the other view, Rabbi Yochanan's view, is that that what he means is to bring 80 loaves with his Karban Toda. That's nonsense. There is no such thing as a Karban Toda with 80 loaves. So none of them become Kodesh. So the debate is, what did he mean? Did he mean backup? Or did he mean 80 loaves? That's one explanation of the Machlokas. Abaye disagrees. Abaye says, we know what you meant. You meant 80 loaves. Abaye Omar de Kule Alma, everybody agrees, it should not say La'achrayus, that word you have in parentheses, it should say La'karban Gadol. I'm following Rashi. La'karban Gadol Kamachavein. Everybody agrees he meant 80 loaves. Then why is there a debate about what the effect is? Uba klisharis mekadshin shlomidaz kamiflagi. We view the knife as a klisharis, a utensil of the Beis HaMikdash, and the debate is, does a utensil of the Beis HaMikdash have the ability to dedicate something even without proper intent? When you shecht the Karban Tamid, perhaps, by the Karban Toda, perhaps what happens is, even though you meant all 80 loaves, 40 become Kodesh. Because the Beis HaMikdash knows better than you. Mar Savar Klei Sharis Mekadshin Shlomidas. One view is, Chizkiah's view is, that the knife sanctifies 40 loaves properly, even though that wasn't what you intended. Umar Savar Klei Sharis Ein Mekadshin Shlomidas. And the other one says, nonsense, that it can't happen. Because remember, it's not just without your intent, it's with your wrong intent. You're intending 80, and the Beis HaMikdash is reversing it on you, saying, no, you really meant 40. So that's a second approach. Third approach from Rav Papa, the first version of Rav Papa, is everybody agrees that the bringer meant 80, like Abaye said. But further, everybody agrees that a klisharis can sanctify even against your will. The only question is whether this knife is like a normal klisharis. Rav Papa Amar, Dekulei Alma klisharis mekadshin shlomidas. Everybody agrees that a vessel, the Beis HaMikdash, can indeed create kedusha against your intent. V'hacha besakin kamiflagi. The debate is regarding this knife that you use to shech the Karban Toda. Mar savar sakin mekadeshas kiklisharis. One says it has the full power of a klisharis and it can make it holy. Umar savar, the other one says, when the brackets, sakin kevin de less. This knife is not a true klisharis because it doesn't have a receptacle. It doesn't have any way to hold anything, and therefore it's not a normal klisharis. Ve'ika de Amri, alternatively, taking the opposite view, an alternative view of Rav Papa, still, the Makriv meant 80, and a klisharis cannot do this. But the debate is whether this knife might actually have more power, instead of saying less power than a klisharis, maybe the knife has more power than a klisharis. Why? He says, everybody agrees that a klisharis cannot normally do if it's not your intent. V'hacha b'sakin kamiflagi, but the debate is regarding the knife. Mar Savar, one says, sakin alima miklisharis, that the knife is actually more powerful than a normal klisharis, because even though it doesn't have a receptacle, it can still sanctify the bread in a normal situation. D'avagav de les le'toch, even though it lacks an inside, it's still mikdashah, it still dedicates the bread. Umar Savar, sakin lo alima le miklisharis, and one says, no, the knife is like a regular klisharis, and a regular klisharis cannot work against your intent. It's a great fundamental debate that goes far beyond Lach Metoda. I go to the Beis HaMikdash, I try to dedicate something improperly. Can the Beis HaMikdash set things right? We have this elsewhere. We have the tzitz working for things that are tamei to make things right. So can the Beis HaMikdash make things right here for my karban? And just say, don't worry, it's 40 loaves. That's the basic debate that we're dealing with. And then we have nuances, knives versus other klisharis and so on. Okay, let's see the Mishnah. This continues our issue of intent. I really don't know why this Machlokas, Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan, was brought on the previous Mishnah. It had nothing to do with the previous Mishnah. It really fits much more with this Mishnah. In any case, Shchata Chutz Lizmana, we're going to deal with four different gaffes that occur when you're shechting the Toda. Shchata Chutz Lizmana v'chutz l'mekoma kidei shalachem. If you shecht the Karban Toda with a thought of eating it at the wrong time or doing the Avodah in the wrong time or in the wrong place, kidei shalachem, the bread still becomes lachmei Toda, it becomes sanctified. And therefore, as Rashi says, it becomes pigul if it's a Chutz Lizmano thought, right? That's what's going to happen to it. The same status as the animal. You got it. Shchata v'nimtzeis treifa. If you shechted it, if it turns out to be a treifa, lo kidesh alechem, the bread is not sanctified because the animal was a treifa all along. Shchata v'nimtzeis balas mum. If you shechted it and it turns out to be blemished, and note here, the Gemara is going to say it's a type of blemish which wasn't visible before, and it's not a major blemish, not like missing a limb. That's not what we're talking about in this discussion. It's the dokin sheba'ayin, the pupil of the eye, the iris of the eye, I forget. That's what we're going to talk about. So it has a minor mum. So Rabbi Eliezer omer kidesh. Rabbi Eliezer says the bread is still holy. And he's following the view, Rashi quotes a few from the Gemara, the view of Rabbi Akiva as well, that if an animal has this kind of minor mum, and you put it on the Mizbeach, you don't take it off. So therefore, he says, the bread becomes kadosh. V'chacham omrim lo kidesh. Chacham say, no, it does not become holy. And then finally, shchata shelo lishma. If you shechta shelo lishma, we just mentioned this in the Gemara before, you have it in mind, some other carbon, v'chein el amiluim, as well as the ram brought at the dedication, v'chein shnei kivzei atzeres sheshchata shelo lishma, or the two lambs of shvuas, which come with bread. In all those cases, you have animals coming with bread. So sheshchata shelo lishma, if you shech the animal shelo lishma, lo kidesh halechem, the bread does not gain kedusha. And we'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.